Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University poll, a brilliant man, professor of political science, and now comes down to the Supreme Court. You're a political scientist. We've talked a little bit about this in the past, but I'll bet that there are some places that this, whoever he appoints to this court, Trump, are going to be, for example, very down on things like abortion. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's true. Now, Trump, during the campaign, did not make a secret of the pool from which he might draw potential Supreme Court nominees. He drew up a list of potential nominees, and in terms of abortion rights, many of them were individuals who would fall on the side of additional restrictions or overturning Roe versus Wade. So that will be a key issue when whomever Trump nominates goes to the Senate for confirmation hearings.
So let's go from the Supreme Court now to the makeup of the House and the Senate, both of which will be controlled by the Republicans. The conservative Republicans certainly will continue their control over the House of Representatives. The question is, will Paul Ryan, who ran for vice president the last time, be a presidential candidate the next time as a result of his work as the Speaker?
Yeah, it's an open question. The Speaker was speakership was never an office that was part of his career trajectory. When John Boehner stepped down, Ryan said over and over, I don't want it, and it seemed very clear that he was biding his time to run for the presidency. The elders of the party leaned on him, and he used that leverage to negotiate a speakership in which he could get to go home on the weekends to be with his young children, as opposed to raising money for the party weekend after weekend. And so he took on the role, but it's not his ultimate career aspiration, no question about
Except that Trump will be president for 4 years, and if you listened real carefully to him last night, maybe for 8 years, he was saying.
Right, and Ryan's a relatively young man. He could afford to bide his time. But the real question is, what is going to happen to his speakership?
Yeah, well, how will he be reelected? There are those conservatives in the House who think he's too, progressive.
And there are individuals who will remember that the morning after the Access Hollywood tape appeared, in which Donald Trump is recorded as making these very objectionable remarks about women and about assaulting women, he had been scheduled to appear with Ryan the next day at a campaign event in Wisconsin, and Ryan canceled it. And that created some ill will. Ryan never fully embraced Trump. He held off on endorsing him. Even after he indicated his support, he did not embrace him wholeheartedly. And so there may be some blowback from that in terms of a challenge to his speakership. Had the Democrats made more gains in the House in the election, Ryan's position would have been more imperiled. He would have needed more of the Freedom Caucus to get things done. As it stands, the Republicans still have a pretty healthy majority in the House, so Ryan may have survived to fight another day. We'll see. We'll see what happens when the House chooses the Speaker in a few weeks.
So somebody recently said to me that Chuck Schumer was going to be incredibly important. Because in order to get things done in the Senate, you're going to need 60 votes, and they don't have them. So the Republicans don't have them. So Schumer basically can exercise a lot of veto power in the upper house. What do you make of that?
Yes, he does. He certainly would have had even more power had the Democrats managed to defend all their seats and then pick up five without a Democrat in the White House. But as leader of the minority party, he will wield influence because the Republicans do not have a veto-proof majority. He has to be selective in how he uses that, though. For example, when the nominee comes to fill the vacancy on the Supreme Court, the Senate had agreed to revise its rules to require simply a majority to confirm lower court judges, and there's always the possibility that the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, could invoke what's called the nuclear option, change the Senate rules, get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court nominees as well, and then that would significantly diminish Schumer's power in the chamber.
Well, does anybody care the fact that they held up the Obama nomination based on, no nuclear option?
Right. Well, the public, that certainly didn't seem to bother the public much at all. But the Democrats will be wary because you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And they have to keep in mind that in 2018, a third of the Senate is up, and two-thirds of those seats that are up are held by Democrats. And midterm elections tend to be elections when Democratic voters don't turn out in greater numbers. So Schumer could see his caucus shrink even further in 2018. So he wants to conduct himself carefully and also recruit some good candidates should any seats open up, or work to build up candidates who are going to be facing the voters in 2018.
So let's talk for a moment. We have about 3 minutes left to talk about where the Democratic Party goes from here. You know, they lost. They actually won the popular vote, but they did lose the election. What lessons need to be learned?
They did lose the election, and one of the truths that comes to the fore, but has been here throughout the cycle, is they don't have a deep bench of individuals with national followings, and so they have to work quickly to cultivate and promote Democrats, either in the Congress or Democratic governors around the country, because they've got to groom a convincing presidential field for 2020.
Is Tim Kaine one of them?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. He now has experience with a national campaign. His name recognition is high. He seemed to be perceived as someone who could work across the aisle and someone who was not a fire-breathing partisan, so he might appeal across the various ideological quarters of the Democratic Party. So, yes, it's quite possible.
And he did deliver Virginia.
He did deliver Virginia. People revised. And they revised their assessments of his performance in the vice presidential debate with Mike Pence. He ended up articulating some themes that actually had some power after the fact. The other point that I wanted to make, though, the Democratic Party has to rebuild and start winning back some state legislatures in 2018 in particular, but also in 2020, because if they're ever to hope to win the U.S. House of Representatives again, they've got to be in charge of redistricting after the 2020 census. One way to do that, win more governor's offices, win more state legislative chambers, and that starts 2 years from now, meaning it starts right now. So they've got to focus on party building.
I'm going to throw up if we start talking about it's my fault because I asked the question. If we start talking about candidates now, here we go again.
No question. Before Trump won, John Kasich had revealed he was giving an address to the American Enterprise Institute 2 days after the election. I think he had made that schedule assuming Trump would lose and that the 2020 field for Republicans would begin to form. But it is a nonstop election cycle these days.
Guess again, Mr. Kasich. Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, a great guy, a real brain, and we thank you so much, Tim, for being with us.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.